You're listening to All the Books, a weekly show of recommendations and enthusiasm regarding the week's new book releases. This is episode 450, and today we are talking about books being released on February 20th, 2024, and more. I'm Liberty Hardy, here with Tirza Price, and we're coming to you from bookriot.com. Tirza, hello!
Hello, Liberty. How are you?
Well, first I have to say that I think I screwed up the episode number last time because I talked about area code 450, which was Montreal, and we had that discussion, but now, like, this is episode 450, and I know, like, they don't even say it anymore, I think, in the pod catchers, but, like, it's, you know, I got really confused at the beginning of the year because we missed two shows because of the holidays, and I don't even know, so I apologize for all of you who are super into the area code content on the book show, but I do believe this is actually episode 450, so I'm gonna, you know, work on that for next time. You know, or we could just keep calling this one 450.
I Googled it, and yeah. Area code 451 is not assigned to any region in the U.S., so yeah. We don't exist.
It's amazing how many different, like, numbers don't have area codes, considering, like, how big the place is. But, yeah, so this is actually episode 450, because I was going through something else, our notes for something else, and I was like, wait. This is for, oops. So anyway, I know no one was, like, really upset about it, but just so you know, this is actually a 450. Just kidding. We, you know, the last one, we were just kidding. You know, and so, yeah, we're going to talk about books today. What else? My cats are being very bad because the wind is wild outside. Sometimes I have to remember that. I'm like, why are you? Oh, yeah. Like, they're just racing around the house, smashing into things, pushing things over. Freddie tried to murder me for some hummus earlier.
Oh, buddy.
Just, like, leapt at me and landed, like, up on my shoulder and my neck from the floor. Like, wasn't even going for the bowl. It was just like, I'm going to take this right out of your mouth. That was unfun. And so, yeah. But I blame the wind.
Yeah, that seems legit. Like, they're, yeah.
I mean, it's like...
Yeah, it's working them up. It's turning them a little wild.
Yeah, pressure. Like, animals are much more sensitive to that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that's about the whole of my morning so far. And, yeah, I don't know what else to talk about today. I was saying this, you know, I was writing the newsletter for next week, and I also said this, like, I want to come on the show and be like, last night, I ate a live bat, and then I played tennis in the dark, you know, like something exciting. That's not exciting. Don't eat bats, people. It's terrible. But it's the first thing that popped into my head because there's a bat sticker, like, right in front of my face. You know, but every week I'm like, so I read books. You know, yep. like, here's what I got. Books. But it's exciting. I mean, I love books. It's you know, but occasionally I'm like, I wish I, you know, went skydiving with penguins or something. Don't take penguins skydiving. What am I doing? I don't know where these things are coming from. It would be terrible.
You could, like, have you ever seen the picture book Dogs Don't Wear Sneakers by Laura Numeroff?
No, it sounds familiar.
It's very cute. It's about animals doing really wacky things that they don't normally do. So, like, dogs don't wear sneakers, and it just keeps going and going. Mm-hmm. It's by the same person who wrote If You Give a Mouse a Cookie.
Right. That's right. And it's the name.
Yeah. It's wild. It's funny. And I feel like that's what you're describing. You're like, I ate a bat. I took a penguin skydiving. And it's like, no, none of these things.
Don't do any of these things. Yeah. So what you can do, segue, is sign up for the 10th year of the Read Harder Challenge. That is this year, 2024, in case you're not sure what year it is. You can join us as we make our way through 24 tasks meant to expand our reading horizons and diversify our TBRs. To get book recommendations for each task, sign up for the Read Harder newsletter. We'll also keep you informed about other cool reading challenges, readathons, and more across the bookish internet. If you become a paid subscriber, you can get even more recommendations, plus community features where you can connect with a community of passionate, like-minded readers in a cozy and supportive corner of the internet. Visit bookriot.com/readharder to sign up. That's bookriot.com/readharder. And now we're going to hear from a sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Amazon Publishing. So I got a story with a little Old West debauchery, if you want to get a little messy. So there is a city steeped in the Old West mess. And in the city, a reporter is following every lead to a dangerous place, one that could bring him glory and fame or end his life. New York Times bestselling author Robert Dugoni is back with a gripping new thriller of corruption, vice, and murder set in Depression-era Seattle. It's about a reporter covering a hot murder trial who soon learns nothing is what it seems. The story could make his career if he lives to write about it. You can learn more at amazon.com/A Killing on the Hill. So yes, A Killing on the Hill by Robert Dugoni is what you need to pick up if you are into some Depression era danger in Seattle. It's a city of big dreams and dark ambitions, and this reporter gets caught up in the muck. So make sure to check it out, and thanks again to Amazon Publishing for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Tor Books. So if you are a fan of epic fantasy, if you're a fan of Scott Lynch and or Joe Abercrombie, but you want something a little different, you want a hero who's like a bit of a mess, then The Silver Blood Promise by James Logan is for you. In it, Academy dropout / disgraced noble heir Lacan Gordova's life is in shambles. All he's got going for him is, one, he is a card sharp of considerable skill, and two, a lot of, maybe potentially a little too much, wine. So they're, you know, those are the positives. So when the bizarre murder of his father robs him of even the off chance of redemption, Lacan decides to make amends another way. He's going to unravel the mystery behind the killing, even if it takes him to the underbelly of Sophrona, a city of danger, secrets, and merchant princes. Finding the truth is one thing. Finding the truth and staying alive is like a whole other thing. So make sure to check out The Silver Blood Promise by James Logan on sale May 7th. And thanks again to Tor Books for sponsoring this episode.
Okay, so life, it happens. I'm getting over food poisoning, so I only have one book for you today that I've actually read, but I'm very excited about all of these, and I'm going to kick it off with Splinters, Another Kind of Love Story by Leslie Jamison. Leslie Jamison is the author of a few books, including The Empathy Exams and The Recovering. This is a memoir about her marriage, the birth of her daughter, and her eventual divorce. When she was younger, she met another writer. They hit it off. She had just gotten out of a long-term relationship. He was a widower who had lost his wife to cancer. He had a young daughter. And things were exciting. They were having a great time. They had things to talk about. They were both writers. They traveled. They did romantic things. And she thought this was what she wanted. She wanted to be happy being single when she got out of her last relationship, but she also hated being alone and thought, you know, this is something I want to do. I want to be in a relationship. And not only that, but, you know, he had lost his wife and she thought, you know, he deserves to be happy again. I can make him happy. And they eloped to Vegas after 6 months and got married. And at first, everything was great. But then little by little, things start to happen, you know, when you get further into a relationship with someone, you get to know other things about them, their familiarities, things that are less exciting, there are things you don't know. She thinks that he was jealous of her career because her career was going really well with each new book she released while he had written this novel that didn't do well, didn't get any recognition. And then she got pregnant with their daughter. She gives birth to their daughter, and suddenly she realizes she has this whole other different relationship that is part of her life. And Jamison talks about motherhood in similar ways as her marriage. You know, she wanted children, but she also feels guilty because sometimes she's like, she doesn't want it. She wants some time alone. She doesn't know that this was like what she should have done, but she loves her child, you know, more than anything, and also doesn't want anyone else to help her and doesn't want anyone else to do anything for her, like wants to spend all her time around her, but also like she wishes she could just get a break. You know, and Jamison examines motherhood and, you know, the societal expectations on mothers still, like how it's still expected to be a private thing. People don't want to see women breastfeeding their babies in public or being tired in public with their children or running out of patience with their children. They want that to be something that happens at home, or, you know, they don't want to see it happening. And it also talks about the memoir. It also talks about her alcoholism in relation to these things. She talks about that in the recovery, how she is an alcoholic. She stopped drinking before her marriage, and a little bit like how marriage and motherhood make her feel similar in ways that, you know, wanting a drink, not wanting a drink, you know, wanting to drink all the time, like, makes her feel. And she also discusses her parents' marriage and what she took away from that situation and their divorce. She didn't see her father very much when her parents were married. She saw him very little after they got divorced. And so, as we know from what I was telling you at the beginning and the title, her marriage comes apart. And she talks about the blame that she takes for it. She feels a bit like she had a husband and they lived in this apartment and they were a couple, you know, a team. And then she replaced her husband with her daughter because she spent all her time with her daughter. And she also feels like she was expected to do everything with her daughter. Like, her husband didn't do as many things as he could have to help out. And in the end, it got pretty ugly. She, you know, wanted custody, and that was a battle. And at the end, she talks about, like, her life after her divorce, like moving out with her daughter and finding a place and thinking about dating again and what she thinks about marriage now. It's a really thoughtful, fascinating look at marriage and motherhood and relationships. Her ex asked her not to write about his daughter from his first marriage. As I mentioned at the beginning, he had a daughter with his first wife, and she respects that request. Like, she doesn't talk about anything to do with her. And Jameson is such an incisive writer. Like, she writes things that you have thought, but she puts them in such a way that you're like, oh, yes, that. You know, and marriage and motherhood are two things in a long list of things that you could categorize under. We do them because we've always done them, you know, and so many things have their roots, you know, based in religion or fear. You know, like, we've just always gotten married, and, you know, fewer people are doing it. And it's really an interesting look at that. There are more books and articles coming out this year about friendship too, and how your friends are just as important as your partner. And, you know, friends are just as important as your family. They can be your family. And also, like, about choosing to be child-free. It just covers all kinds of interesting subjects. I do want to give content warnings for illness and loss of a loved one, substance abuse, emotional abuse, and pregnancy details, some, you know, a couple of scary things. So it is Splinters, Another Kind of Love Story by Leslie Jameson.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. Thank you. Can I tell you one thing that I just thought of? So because the internet, you know, continually relies on AI now, I was looking up an actor the other day to see how old they were. And it usually says, like, spouse, birthplace, schooling, you know, like, they have, like, a little thing on Google, like, underneath, and it says, you know, kids. And instead, like, the AI had written under kids, it wrote, do not have children. And I just laughed and laughed and laughed. I was like, it's giving directions now. Like, I think it meant does not have children, but, you know, AI can't get anything quite right. So
that's funny.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, spotting the AI in just everyday life now has gotten to be quite the adventure.
It's wild.
For sure. So, okay, my first pick is a romance novel, so it's going to be a little bit of a tone shift here. It is At Her Service by Amy Spalding. And this is, like, the second in her Out in Hollywood series. You do not have to have read the first book, which is for her consideration in order to enjoy At Her Service, because the characters are linked, but, like, very sort of like off to the side. So that's not like, you know, you're going to be getting any major major spoilers, but I also really highly recommend for her consideration, which is about a Hollywood star and a talent agency assistant falling for each other, and it is delightful. So this is about Max, who is another assistant at this like same talent agent, and she seems to have like her life together in the sense that, like, you know, her job is great. She's liking the fact that, like, she lives in LA. She has like really clear ideas of like what she wants in her life, but her big problem is that, like, she is so like self-conscious and not really certain of like how to make the next move, like, all the time, that she finds herself pretty stuck. And so she has like this crush on this bartender that she can't even, you know, admit to, or she can't even ask this woman out. So her roommate one day is like, okay, you need to, like, you know, get out there. And so she tells her about this app that's called like a self-actualization app, which I'm like, okay, that's an interesting way of putting it. But basically it's this app that is supposed to, you know, help you get where you want to go. And it's kind of a relatively new app. So Max is like, okay, yeah, since I can't make any decisions about my life, like, I would love to have an app tell me what to do. And so she signs up for it, and like, it actually is really successful and it's working out really well for her. But then she also realizes that her crush, the bartender named Sadie, is also part of this app. And so that really kind of sends her to this tailspin of like, oh my gosh, you know, or is what I want like actually something that I'm achieving, or like, is this just like the app like artificially like construing everything? So she has to realize that she has to, you know, do what she wants to do and actually make her own moves in life. So I have to say, like, I'm not usually a huge like Hollywood LA sort of romance setting type of person. Like, that's just, you know, not really like the thing that like I get really excited to read about. However, made a huge exception for Amy Spalding because most of her books are set in LA and they are so good. I just love them all. So this is another great one in the Out in Hollywood series. I hope there are more of these books because there's so many characters across, you know, for her consideration and in this book where I'd be like, oh, I want a romance novel about that character or that person. So this is just really fun. It is, again, At Her Service by Amy Spalding.
Okay. My next pick is a middle grade fantasy slash horror that I am excited to read. It is called Bumps in the Night by Amelie Howard. It's about a young teen named Rika. When Rika's dad remarries, suddenly Rika finds herself with a new family. Just like that. She has a stepmom and stepbrothers. And nobody asked her if she wanted this. She hasn't seen or heard from her own mom in a really long time, and she doesn't like this. And she starts to act out and ends up getting in trouble. So her dad decides she's going to Trinidad to stay with her grandmother for the summer. And as soon as Rika gets there, she gets a weird energy from the island, like right away. And she meets a group of unusual kids who call themselves Minders. And she gets the feeling that they might have some kind of unusual powers. And then there are also things in the forest and things in the shadows. And Rika discovers that these things are jumbies. Jumbies are spirits of the dead. And their purpose in undead life, their purpose in non-life, is to plague the living. They are not here to make friends. And Rika is like, get me out of here. I want to go home. But then the Minders tell her that her mom, who she has not heard from in a very long time, needs her help. And Rika has never heard about what happened, like why she doesn't hear from her mom. And she ends up learning family secrets that have been kept from her. And she decides that she's going to stay and face the Jumbie King and hopefully save the day and also save her friends. I love middle grade mysteries. I love horror, so I'm looking forward to this one. I also really loved the Jumbies series by Tracy Baptiste, which came out a few years ago. It was a trilogy. So I'm really looking forward to Bumps in the Night by Amelie Howard.
Ooh. I read the Jumbies by Tracy Baptiste, and like I thought the Jumbies were so creepy. So that sounds like another good Jumbies sort of scary book.
We could write a book about nice Jumbies. like, you know, the exception to the rule.
Right. Oh, that's funny. Okay, so my next pick is also sort of creepy book. It is Island Witch by Amanda Jayatissa. And Amanda Jayatissa has written a couple of like thrillers that are pretty good. So I have not had a chance to read this one yet, but it is definitely high on my list. It is about Amara, who lives in this village in Sri Lanka. And they are, you know, starting to feel the influence of colonizers and colonization. So she comes from like this long line of, you know, people who are considered demon priests, and they have their own sort of practices and traditions, which, you know, have been very well respected by their people, but now are starting to, you know, be distrusted because of the influence of probably like Christianity and colonization. But of course, that doesn't stop supernatural happenings from occurring in the jungle. And so, you know, when people need like small little supernatural issues to, you know, be helped with, Amara's father usually comes out and helps them. But when something starts killing men in the jungle, rather than turning to her father for help, they accuse him of being the cause for it. So now Amara has found that, you know, her father's been taken away and something very dark is in the jungle and it's hunting people. And she's starting to get a sense through some dreams that something dark is coming, and you know, she's got to figure out what to do next. So that sounds very chilling and intriguing. And knowing that I have enjoyed Amanda Jayatissa's thrillers before, I'm really excited to pick up Island Witch.
All right. I was trying to think if I've read her thrillers before. I think so. That, there was the one about the wedding. Is that
the wedding guest?
Is that the author?
And,
yes.
Yeah. And then there was another one about an adoptee, and I'm trying to remember the title of it, but it was really good too.
Yeah. So those are books that we have mostly read, or some of them. And now we are going to talk about more of today's releases that we are excited about but haven't necessarily read. Mine up first is Ours. Mine is Ours. by Philip B. Williams. So I actually saw Williams discuss this during a publisher event a few months ago, and he made it sound so amazing. And I was like, oh, I have to read this. I have to read this right away. And they sent me a copy, but it's like 600 pages long. And as soon as I got it and started it, I knew that it was something really special and something that I was going to love. And I put it down and I was like, I need to save this for when I need it. And like, we're all readers, and I know everyone has times like that. Like, sometimes I get so excited to read a book by somebody that I can't read it, which doesn't sound like it makes any sense. And it doesn't. But like, sometimes I'll get a book by an author that I really want to read, and I stop everything and read it right then. Like when I got the new Robin Sloan, you know, I dropped everything and read it right then. There's no rhyme or reason for it. I have no idea. Like, why do I do these things? Who knows? You know, I was thinking the other day that like all of my co-hosts, their names end in A and mine ends in Y. It's just always like, why, Liberty? I don't know. But the reviews for this novel sing its praises. I mean, just so many. And I read somewhere that this isn't really a novel, it's an experience, which I was like, oh, I you know, gotta save that for something special. It starts in the 1830s and takes place over four decades. It's about a conjurer named Saint who has powers, and she rescues enslaved people in Arkansas and takes them to a place outside St. Louis called Ours. And it's a look at the town and how it grows. Like, this town is also hidden from most people. Like, people don't know it's there. It's theirs. It's ours. And it's about how life is in ours until Saint starts to lose her powers and outsiders start to get in. Williams is a poet. He's an award-winning poet. And I love reading novels by poets. Like, you can just sense it in their novels. Like, their sentences are always amazing. And like I said, it's 600 pages, but I do hope to get to it soon. And I think we're going to be hearing a lot more about this book as the year goes on. It is called Hours by Philip B. Williams. And just for those of you that can't understand my Maine accent, even though I try to hide it, it's hours, not as in time, as in O-U-R-S.
That sounds really intriguing. Okay, my next pick is The Diablo's Curse by Gabe Cole Novoa. And this is like a banner year for Gabe because he just released Most Ardently, which was like one of my favorite books that I've read so far this year, which is like a trans Jane Austen Pride and Prejudice retelling. It came out last month. It was like a New York Times bestseller. So yay. So now he has another book coming out this month, this week. And it is called The Diablo's Curse. It is a sort of like historical pirate story. It's a companion novel to The Wicked Bargain, but like apparently you don't have to read The Wicked Bargain in order to enjoy this one. So it is about a demon named Dami who was once human, became a demon, made lots and lots of deals with all sorts of humans, and now is like, oh, you know, I'd really like to become human again, but first they have to go and they have to cancel all of the deals that they've made with the various humans in order to get their humanity back. And unfortunately, one of the big things standing in their way is canceling the deal that they made with Silas, who has been plagued by his entire family has been plagued so that he will die young. And so he made a deal with Dami to make sure that he didn't die young. And so if, you know, Dami cancels this deal, then Silas will die. And Silas is like, no, thank you. I like living. So he only agrees to consider canceling the deal if Dami will help him destroy the curse on his family. And that means that they're going to have to work together, which is going to be interesting because they aren't exactly getting along. This sounds delightful. It's also says like, it is about a human, a boy cursed to die young, or a demon who wants to be human, a boy cursed to die young, and the murderous island destined to bury them both. And I'm like, ooh, murderous island. Like, I am intrigued. So this sounds really great. It is The Diablo's Curse by Gabe Cole Novoa.
All right. And in sticking with scary stuff, my last pick is The Bad Ones by Melissa Albert. I love Albert's Hazelwood series. This is another dark YA fantasy / horror. The cover, first of all, looks like The Weeping Angels from Blink, that episode of Doctor Who, which featured a very young Carey Mulligan as Sally Sparrow, if you don't remember. But this is about a town with a dark magical history in which on a winter's night, four people go missing, including Nora's ex-best friend, Becca. Now, in order for Becca to be found, Nora will have to follow the clues that she left her. And it turns out that these clues are related to a local legend about a vengeful goddess who might be in the town. It promises creepy twists and turns and dark secrets around every corner, as well as a look at toxic friendship. So I'm excited to read this. Every time I look at this, even though it's called The Bad Ones, I end up with Bad Guy by Billie Eilish stuck in my head because that's what my brain does. There's a Clara Lombardo novel coming out soon that has the title from a Talking Heads song, and like every time I see it, then I sing Talking Heads like the rest of the day. I'm sure everybody does this, but yeah, for some reason I end up with Billie Eilish in my head. Which, related, I learned on Jeopardy last night that one of her middle names is Pirate, which is pretty awesome. Her full name is Billie Eilish Pirate Baird O'Connell. So say that five times fast. But this is sure to be a good time. And also, you know, I think about YA sometimes, you know, because I'm almost 50 and, you know, we didn't have what is, you know, called a YA section at the library, you know, when I was a kid where my mom worked. And, you know, there were books that you would call YA, but not that many. Like, there are certainly a lot more choices now. And sometimes I wonder, like, if we had had a YA section, would I have read so many books for adults at a very young age? Like, would I have just kept staying upstairs in the kids section and reading the YA novels instead of, you know, finding, you know, Stephen King and John Updike when I was 10 years old, you know? I don't know. I mean, I was reading like Christopher Pike and stuff, but anyway, I've gone way off subject. This is The Bad Ones by Melissa Albert.
I'm really excited for this one. I just got an ARC, and actually Melissa Albert is coming on tour to the like bookstore close and local to me. So hopefully I'll be able to go. It depends on weather and road conditions this time of year though. So we'll see what if that happens.
Very cool.
Yeah, but I'm excited about that book too. All right, my last pick is We Got the Beat by Jenna Miller, which makes me want to start singing, but I'm going to spare you of that.
So see, I told you. It happens.
It does. It just sometimes it overcomes. So this is about Jordan. She is a nerdy lesbian who is determined to become the editor-in-chief of the school newspaper. She's only a junior, but she thinks she's got what it takes to be the editor, even though she's not a senior. And she's like so certain that it's going to happen. And then it doesn't. And she has been assigned sports, and so she has to cover like volleyball and all sorts of sports that are going on, which she's not super excited about given that, you know, she's a nerdy lesbian who would prefer to be in charge. So the worst part about covering all of the sports is that she has to spend a lot of time looking at Mackenzie, who used to be her best friend until she humiliated Jordan their freshman year of high school. And Jordan is like, well, look how the tables have turned, because now I'm writing about you in the school newspaper, and you know, you're the captain of the volleyball team, and you are at my mercy with what I can write with my pen. But then as they start to get to know each other, Jordan finds that she is sort of falling back into like that same sort of friendship with Mackenzie, which feels a little dangerous because Mackenzie betrayed her. But then Mackenzie tells her the real reason, like what happened and why she said what she did, and everything changes for Jordan. So I will at least pick up a book with a good title pun, but this one sounds amazing, so I'm definitely very excited to read it. It is We Got the Beat by Jenna Miller.
Okay, and now we are going to hear from another sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by W.W. Norton and Company Incorporated. So, Negative Space by Jillian Linden follows a week in the life of an English teacher at a New York private school. At home, her children ask constant questions about mortality, and her husband offers occasional counsel between Zoom calls. At school, something happens. She accidentally witnesses an ambiguous, possibly inappropriate interaction between a teacher and a student, but how can she be sure of what she saw? Negative Space is a portrait of a woman caught between the pressures of what's normal and what isn't, and examines what we owe the people who depend on us in a fractured and indifferent world. It's a debut novel and a short novel. It's perfect if you want something quick and easy to carry around, but it's also thought-provoking. It takes place during the pandemic, but it's not pandemic-focused, and it really just looks at everyday anxieties in low-threat situations that have high consequences. So make sure to check out Negative Space by Jillian Linden, and thanks again to W.W. Norton and Company Incorporated for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Unchipped, the most epic dystopian science fiction adventure series that you've probably never heard of. And bonus points because it's Finnish. And when's the last time you read a Finnish dystopian science fiction novel? Right. Okay. So in this one, humanity is destroying itself as the cities burn, which sounds kind of familiar. It is the time of the great affliction. In this terrible world, a new hope arises. The Happiness Program, which is the creation of a Finnish pharmaceutical genius, Dr. Laura Solomon. With happiness, pills, mind mapping, and microchips, Dr. Solomon intends to build a new world for the worthy few. Which sounds like a perfect plan, and nothing could go wrong, right? Right. So this is a raw but fun dystopian sci-fi adventure with an unusual premise, describing what happens when technology rules humanity. Either you're chipped living inside the AR society, or you're left outside to barely survive. Make sure to check out Unchipped by Taya DeVere. And thanks again to Unchipped, the most epic dystopian science fiction adventure series that you probably never heard of, for sponsoring this episode.
All right, so here's what those are books that we're excited about, that we've read. What are you going to read next?
I am super excited. I'm going to read The Book of Love by Kelly Link. I think it's finally ready for me at the library. And I know you and I both really love Kelly Link. So
oh,
I'm
my
super
goodness,
excited to read
so
this.
So much. I may have ordered a signed copy from her store and also the UK copy. And I hear that there might be a limited edition that Ooh. They will offer. So I got on the list for that as well. I'm very excited. And I've already read it. I love her so much.
Me too. Like I went to a book event with her, and I want to say it was like 2014, 2015. Mm-hmm. And it was when Get in Trouble came out. So it's been a while. And I just was like enamored because she's so smart and brilliant. But then at that time she like admitted, she's like, I'm trying to write a novel. I think it's a YA novel. She's like, how do people do it? It's so hard. I don't know if I can do it. Writing short stories is so much easier for me. So it'll probably never get published. And I was like, so for years I've been like, Kelly Link novel, Kelly Link novel. And given that like the protagonists of, you know, the Book of Love are like teenagers, I'm like, I'm pretty sure this was the novel she was referring to. So I'm so excited to read. I feel like I've been waiting for years.
Yeah, no, it's so, so good. So good. I'm going to read Green Dot by Madeline Gray, which Ooh. I don't know much about, except that it has a blurb from Meg Howery, who is the author of They're Going to Love You, one of my favorite novels from the very end of 2022. Love that book so much. And she says, Madeline Gray takes a scalpel to millennial malaise, office romance, and infidelity, and the result is a brainy, gutsy, nerdy, and hilarious wonder of a novel. I was like, I'm sold. So... I didn't tell you my Kelly Link story. So many years ago when I worked at the bookstore, she was going to come to do an event and it had to be canceled for something. I don't remember why. So then I was like, I want to see Kelly Link. So then there was the Franklin Reading Series in New York City. And I went down to New York specifically to see Kelly read at the Franklin Reading Series. And when I got there, they're like, Kelly Link had to drop out. And I was like, I just rode a bus for 5 hours. I'm never going to see Kelly Link. So then I got a chance to work. We were selling books at the Boston Book Festival, and she was talking there. And like right when we got there, it was super early in the morning. We had to set up. It was like 6:30 in the morning. My coworker pulled the very heavy, like long trolley of books over my foot and broke my toe.
Oh, no.
And I wouldn't leave because I was like, I have to see Kelly Link. And I got to see Kelly Link. And
then,
I was like, oh, my toe.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. Yeah, I finally got to do it. It only cost me like a bus trip and a toe. So
I appreciate your dedication because, yes, I would do the same.
She's amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
So, Tirza.
Yes.
You have some news for us.
I do. It's kind of sad news. This is going to be my last episode with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I have so enjoyed being on this podcast. Like, I have to tell you, like, I'm going to get emotional. It's been so much fun. So, yeah. But I'm, it's all good. You know, I've just got new stuff going on in my life and, you know, good new things kind of happening. And I had to like really take a step back and look at like everything that I had going on and all my commitments that I've made and really just make a decision about like, what can I do? You know, so like, I want to do it all, but like, I can't do it all. So like, what do I want to do the most? And then like, what do I have to like step back from so that I can, you know, continue to do everything that I want to do without burning out completely. So yeah, part of that was, saying goodbye to Book Riot, which has been really hard because I think, like, I mean, I know you've been with the company for a really long time, but like, I've been with Book Riot, 8 years, and that just seems like forever.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, but...
Well, thanks for being my every third week, buddy.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for everything that you do, too. Like, I think that, like, all the people that I've met through Book Riot have been, like, just the best part about it. And, like, the good news is, like, we all follow each other on, you know, Instagram and social media. And, like, Liberty and I exchange cat photos all the time. So I'm like, this is, you know, it's like not, we're not going anywhere. We just won't have these moments together anymore, which is a little sad.
Yeah. Well, before you go, is there any book that you're excited about that you want to mention, or, you know, do you want to talk about, you know, you write YA novels, you want to talk about, like, how you feel about the direction YA is going in, like, I'm putting you on the spot, but, like, anything like that?
Okay, so I recently read, this is a new release, it doesn't come out until May, so, but I think it kind of comes out in, like, what would have been my week in May, so I'll just give a little blurb for it. The Brightwood Code by Monica Hess. It is a World War One, post-World War One novel. It's YA. It's about a girl who worked on the front lines as a telephone operator. And then she comes back home right before the war ends. And she's working at Bell Company when, like, her war past kind of comes back to haunt her. It was really good. So that is a good book that I've read recently that is coming out in May. As far as, like, YA, oh goodness. I mean, I love YA. This is, like, why I started writing about books on the internet. It's, like, what led me to starting to write for Book Riot. Like, I think there's been a lot about YA that's changed, especially in, like, the last 8 to 10 years. But one thing that I think is really awesome is that every year that I have worked with Book Riot, I've noticed the YA category become more and more diverse, just, like, more and more exciting. Like, they're just, like, keep coming out, like, so many amazing books, and it's definitely shifted a lot, and I'll be curious to see how it shifts in the future, especially as YA seems to be aging up, which is not, like, a trend that I particularly love, but I do think that kind of speaks to, like, how powerful that, like, that, you know, the age gap is between, like, YA and adult. And I think it's amazing that there are so many people who love reading YA that they keep doing it into adulthood. So I don't know. I feel like I'm not smart enough to on the fly make some sort of, like, deep, insightful comment about YA, but I just love it. So if you follow me, I will still be always talking about YA books on, like, Instagram and threads and whatnot. So I just won't be on here, which is going to be sad, but as I have told many people, you can never get me to shut up about books.
Well, that brings us to the end of our show. Thank you for joining us today. Tuza, thank you again for being my co-host buddy for, I don't know how long, 2 years now? 3 years now? It goes by so fast.
It's been a while, yeah.
Yeah.
That's been fun.
If you want to sign up for the Read Harder Challenge, you can visit bookriot.com/readharder to sign up. That's bookriot.com/readharder. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our awesome audio editor, Caitlin Brame. You can drop us a line at allthebooks@bookriot.com. Tirza, where can people find you online?
You can find me on Instagram, Threads. I'm at Tirza Price. I have a website. It's tirzaprice.com. There's a contact form. I'm happy to hear from people. And yeah, if you follow me on social media, I will still be posting about all of the books that I read and love.
All right. And I mostly hang out on Instagram at @FransenComesAlive. I'm also happy to hear from people, even though I am afraid of them. And if you want to give us a treat, you can go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever it is that you get your podcasts and leave a rating or review. It helps other book lovers to find us, and we appreciate it so, so much. And as much as we would love to tell you about more books today, we just don't have the time, but you can read about more titles out now in the show notes at bookriot.com/allthebooks, as well as find a link to our weekly new books newsletter. And for more recs or general bookishness, check out bookriot.com. And don't forget to check out our full stable of podcasts at bookriot.com/listen, or just search Book Riot on your podcast player of choice. And in the meantime, happy reading.